Jesus is good, and he is king, and he is with us and in us, and it's exciting to be here. Everything Daniel was saying is 100% real for me as well. I get to serve here. It's a pleasure. This is volunteer. I don't get paid from this, you know, and so the sacrifice is real, and I know the fruit is going to be real, and I know the anointing is going to be resting on this because I do it from a pure heart, and I do it because I have Jesus in me, and I love him. And I love the Jesus that lives in you guys. So this is a pleasure truly to be here and, you know, release this word to the body of Christ and to the atmosphere and build the second service, build our culture, build our community brick by brick, because that's exactly kind of what we're doing. And today my topic is going to be called Love Overflowing from the Cross. Last time I spoke, I kind of structured it the same way, but it's going to be a completely different topic. As I said, I want to flow and get stuck on this cross until it kind of, you know, just Holy Spirit takes me the other direction. It's amazing how much facets of the cross there is and how much you can pull on this and how much revelation there is and how beautiful it is. Altogether, how beautiful the cross is and what Jesus has done for us. So, you know, just literally imagining Jesus getting crucified on that cross, right? Can you guys imagine that if you were there in a moment? He's on the cross. It's dark. It's, you know, chaos happening. It's like, have you guys ever imagined like being like trying to be in the shoes and being in a moment 2,000 years ago while that is happening? Anybody? Okay, we got one person, two people. I imagined this so many times and it wrecks me every single time because they didn't know. Pharisees were crucifying him and they didn't know that they were doing the work of the enemy, right? But God turned it around and he turned it for good. And it's like, when I look at that, I see what happened on that cross and I see what's happening in my life, the things the enemy tries to do for me or damage me or distract me or put me down or whatever. Every single time, God turns it around for good, for a blessing, for leveling up, for all of that. Yesterday was a Valentine's day. Happy Valentine's to all the singles, since married couples probably already said happy Valentine's to each other. So it's a day of love. The cross is a true story of love. It's not just, you know, restoration. Everything that the cross is that we're going to talk about, it's not just that. But I think it's the center, literally the center point of love. God's love for us. And that just, to me, that's amazing. You know, when it comes to the Father, the vertical cross and the horizontal cross, when it comes to vertical cross, the Father, he commanded us to believe in Jesus. That's how simple it is. The Father's command to us is to believe in Jesus because he knew that Jesus, everything is in him. Like the whole package deal is in Jesus, literally. That's his main command. Jesus's main command is for us to love one another. And that's the horizontal aspect of it. His hands are spread out and his heart is open, right? His heart is open. He was a full demonstration for us. And can you guys imagine out of anything? He said, he could have been like, be obedient to me, be obedient to the Father, be whatever, sacrificial, title all the time. He could have said anything in the world. Like there's so many things to say. He said, love one another. That is insane. To me, that's insane because there is something to it. Between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is perfect unity. When God was creating men, when he was breathing that soul in, there should be complete perfect unity between us and heaven and God. Not only this, but this. It's all around. It's the whole cross. It's everything. When it comes to the cross, there is three things that happened on the cross. There was a restoration between us and the Father. Like the veil was broken, right? From top to bottom. What that means is that God restored our relationship with the Father. This is crazy because in the Old Testament, they dreamed of this. They wanted this. They could never have it. Jesus came and he made that possible. Now we have full access to the Father's heart. to me personally, why that's precious, because Father, like in all sense of the word, He's our Father. He's the Father of our souls. Is that insane or what? You have your uniqueness, weirdness, like all kinds of things. Of like we're so unique and different, each and every one of us, right? He's the creator of that. He shaped us with His hands. He shaped us like He knows us inside out. The things that we don't even know about ourselves, He knows that. Holy Spirit. Sorry, let me take a step back. When it comes to the second aspect of relationship that was restored on that cross, and that's us and Jesus. We were given a relationship with our brother, right? We were given a relationship with our King. We were given a relationship. I mean, Jesus is so many things, you guys know it. It's restored, it's established. The third thing, and this is what I'm going to be focusing on, is the relationship between us, each other, the cross, the example. I hit different aspects of it last time. Today, what I'm going to be focusing on, this is precious because for second service for us, I'm hungry. I'm praying about this. I will do anything and everything possible for us to step into the second commandment, into the unity that we're supposed to be walking in, because that's where heaven and earth aligns. If Father and Holy Spirit and Jesus is one, that's how we become one with heaven, because the price has been paid by Him. That's it. Open doors, green lights everywhere. But until, as a mature body, we learn to be in unity together, to truly love each other, and I'm going to be, again, focusing on this today, we're going to be struggling because things are, like, not the way they're supposed to be to the original plan. If that makes sense. So God is going to be correcting us, and He's going to be building us, and He's going to be teaching us and leading us and helping with all of this. There's a little story I want to share. So there is a rabbi. He walked into the city. He walks into a city and he sees a man eating a fish. And he asks the man, "Why are you eating the fish?" The man's response was, "'Cause I love the fish." The rabbi's like, "You love the fish? You went, you took it out of the water, you cut the head off, you gutted it, you fried it, and now you're eating it." He's like, "That's not love. You love yourself, not the fish." So very simple, very, like, this is in a Jewish culture, this is a very, unique and deep story to tell, because what that means is that there's real love and there's fish love. You can call it fishy love, you know, either one of those, you know, that's kind of where I'm going with this. Fish love, what that means is that I love you because there is something that I want to get from you, right? There is, you're going to benefit me somehow. You have an agenda in the background. It's so funny because our culture and everything we live in right now is fishy all around, you know? It's just straight up. And that's why I really love this, illustration, because I don't want fishy love. I want true Jesus love between heaven and earth, between each other, between all of it. Real love, what is that? What does that look like? That's John 3:16. The Father gave. You guys seeing what I'm doing? The love is not you love because you want to get something from somebody. The love is literally you are given because you love. There is no strings attached. That's how simple it is. You have Jesus in you. That's what the pure love looks like. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on. And that's what I'm going to be building, because when it comes to this sermon, man, interesting week, because God was just hammering this so deep into me that whatever's going to get released, I know it's going to carry weight on this. This is really good. So vertical love, John 3:16. This is beautiful, because if you're looking in the terms of real love and you're looking in the terms of fishy love, John 3:16, it looks completely different. Look at this. Father so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Can you guys imagine that? The most priceless, the most valuable, the most, I mean, eternally, there is no other weight. He was the most precious thing. He gives Him, He puts Him on that cross. He gave, you know why? For you and I, because of that love. He gave us an example of what that looks like. He gave because He loved. He didn't get anything in return. All of us, we have that choice, either to love Him back, to serve Him, to, live in fishy love or live in real love. It's really, it's our decision, right? So talking about, you know, eternity and God's love, when he ripped the veil from top to bottom, he literally initiated the process of our relationship with the Father. What that means is that when it comes to the Father, he is the Father of spirits. He is the Father of our hearts. He is the Father that can, the only one that can, that carries the true love, the true joy, the true life. Everything comes from him. So this whole picture is just amazing. It mind boggles me how simple it is, but you only need eyes to see and ears to hear to understand the simplicity, how powerful it is, how the foundation of our life is built on it, how the foundation of this earth is built on it. Everything literally ties up to the cross, to Jesus, to the Father. Many Christians today, hands down, if you're looking truth in the eyes, they have dead hearts and dead souls. It's kind of very sad, but it's really true. You connecting to the Father, you connecting to the spirit of lights, connecting to the spirit of like of our existence, of who we are. That's the only way for you truly to receive the true life, joy, peace, all of it. He's the source. He's the source. Jesus made that happen. It's the vertical. It's literally like that vertical cross piece. I know the difference, you know, going through all kinds of seasons, knowing before I got saved, after I got saved, going through ups and downs and stuff like that. I know what it looks like when your heart gets hardened. I know what it, when your heart gets, you know, dull, either because of sin or trauma or pain or whatever that looks like. It's tough. It's tough to be in that place. It's tough to get out of that place. But Jesus is the answer every single time. It doesn't matter the season. It doesn't matter the situation or whatever. He's always there to restore, because it's back to that cross. That cross is real 2020. That cross is going to be real in your life in 2030. That cross is going to be real in your life 20 years, 30 years from now. Whatever your life is going to look like and your situation is going to look like, it's going to work every single time if you come with a humble heart and if you truly surrender and yield to him. It's all that is. Every single time it works. You turn on the faucet to the heavenly living waters and you just... Like Jeff Jansen. How many of you guys remember Jeff Jansen? Just drinking it by the barrel. Just keep on drinking it. That's kind of what it is, you know? The living water is what restores your broken heart. It's what restores your heart that is dead. For a lot of people, the heart is dead. When people come to the cross, they give their lives. The first thing that happens, they get a new heart. Their heart gets revived. And that's where their eyes start opening. Their ears start, hearing. And they start truly seeing Jesus and they start understanding, you know, the supernatural. When it comes to Jesus hanging on that cross, his love was fierce. His love was passionate. Worship band today, you guys did amazing. That was so good. Come on, give them a shout. You know, as they were singing, I'm like, man, that's Jesus right there. Seriously. That's Jesus on the cross dying for us. And we're just, can you guys imagine what an honor for us to be present in the moment, literally in the moment, nowhere else, just worshiping his name, honoring him because of who he is and what he has done for us, how much he means for us. He was passionate. He was feared. Like he was fierce, fighting sin and fighting death on our behalf because he loved us. When talking about love, not fishy love, real love, he saw all of that in the future. He made the first step of giving. He made the first step of giving his life, sacrificing everything because he knew now we're going to have a door in this life and for eternity to be with him and his Father and Holy Spirit. Dang, this is like, for me, it's again, it's so simple. It's like, oh my God, ABCs, right? But you keep on repeating these ABCs and it becomes more deeper to you and more real to you. And you just like new revelation keeps on getting birth out of this, you know, because the cross is real. It's still real today. It's going to be real forever. What I love about the cross is that it changed the rules between Old Testament and New Testament. It changed the whole game. Now this game looks completely different. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Yet he still gave because he loves. now you don't come because you can, you know, you can be a good kid or you can, you know, follow the rules or laws or whatever. No, you can't do that. You come literally just on the merit of grace. I think it bugs some people how simple it is. That cross is alive. The reason why I named my sermon the way I did, because when you come to that cross, you get filled up with the living water. When you get filled up with the living water, you are able to give that living water to others. If you guys ever struggled or struggling with loving people, and it's a thing, it'll be the first one. I had to face my stuff when I was prepping for this sermon. I'm like, I found some interesting stuff in my heart. Thank God for Holy Spirit, you know, because when it comes to receiving words from God that He wants to receive into the body, for one thing, you're going to have to face yourself, what's in your heart. You're going to have to cut off things. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to truly humble yourself in a very deep way, in a very nasty way, sometimes, whatever this looks like, because, you know, this is real. And what this is happening, this is eternal. People that minister, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Abiding in God's presence is where you get filled up with living water, eternal life. When you can't love people, that's because you don't have it. You want to love people, you go back and you get that. You turn on the faucet to heaven and you just keep on drinking and you let your spirit get filled up with that living water and fire. Then love becomes easy. You don't try it. You just go back to childlike faith and you just keep on loving people. Doesn't take much to love people, but it's very interesting. It's very interesting. Have you guys ever caught this? God gives us a command, right? God gives us in John 13, He gives us a command, a new command, the horizontal command, love your neighbor as yourself. The paradox here, the more you focus on yourself, that keeps you further away from discovering yourself. Have you guys ever noticed that? When you're stuck on stupid or you're stuck on yourself, when your focus is like you, your insecurities, your issues, your pain, your trauma, that literally, this is your calling and this is you. This is what you're doing. That you're getting further and further from the truth in yourself. You know what the wild thing about this is? Is that we live in this whole generation that it's all about that. It's all about self. It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about what I want. Love that is in the shape of ego. That is not, it's not pure love. It's not the giving because I love you. It's the fishy kind. Hopefully fishy love is going to register after this sermon. So it is a paradox. God is, you know, unless you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you will miss this. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? What? You start loving yourself, focusing on yourself. You start losing yourself. You literally get so far away from the truth. Well, the real, you know, key here is focusing on God and focusing on others. That's where you really start seeing your nature, your real self, and that's where you really come into discovering who you are. Wow. Just a little shift of perspective, completely different results, completely different reality. And I love this because now we understand this and we can live this out. It's not, I love you because I want something from you. It's, I will give. No strings attached. I don't know if you're going to love me back. Maybe you're going to persecute me tomorrow or whatever. I will still choose to love you and give. Why? Because I have Jesus in me. That's how simple it is. Because when I do that, I represent the Father. I literally, because of Him, I step out and this is who I'm going to be. That's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He gave Himself. He said, what did He say? It's not my will, but your will. Wow. Again, cross, looking at it, so many dimensions are birthed out of this. It is wild. There is a word in Hebrew. It's called ahava. Love literally means you love and you give. It's like a coin with two sides, right? You love and the other one is you give. That's what it is. When you have that love, when you have Jesus in you, when you are fresh with the living water, you are able to give. If you don't have it, I mean, you can't give. It's like, seriously, I think we should go get our kids downstairs and we can seat them over here, because that's how simple it is. They're going to get it. It's going to be a sermon for them, you know? Us adults, we make it so complicated that we forget to walk this stuff out. It's kind of wild to me, you know? But true love is not about you. That's what it is. True love is not about you. It's so funny, you know, when it comes to like God created everything so amazingly and so perfectly that when you give, that is your reward and you get satisfied in that. And that's one of the keys that I'm going to, you know, that I want to hit a home run on it. Because love is not about you. When love is not about you, that means you are free from expectations. Talk to somebody this week about expectations. Interesting stuff. Love is the beginning and love is the end. Most statements today in our society, in our life, I love, I want, I feel, ego-centered. It's crazy because we go with the flow of life without realizing we already have established habits. We already have our desires, likes, wants. But when you truly live life with God and you get into His presence, and you know how the Bible is the mirror, it reflects ourselves, right? Well, the cool thing is people are our mirrors as well. If you live with God, when you get into situations with people, guess what happens? You get a reflection of who you are. You are able to look in yourself and what's there. What is coming out when you're in tough situations, right? That is the mirror, to notice that, to change that, to bring it to God, to get some help to change that. It's amazing how He created everything. When it comes to pure meaning of love, it's letting go of self, self-gratitude, letting go of all control of the outcome. Does that make sense? You don't have a backstory or a desire of what you want because you choose to love people. You love them because it's who Jesus is in you, and that's who you are because you carry His name. That's how simple it is. Really, no strings attached. Zero expectations. If you guys can pick this up, it will set you free, because it took me a minute to learn this one. And thank God I learned this one, and now I live it. I know what I'm talking about. When you put expectations, you know, when you bless people, it will always screw you over. Every single time you will end up in your mind and in your heart in the wrong place. When you love on people, you give and you don't expect anything back. You genuinely don't expect. And if God decides to bless you back through that person, awesome. If He decides not to bless you, awesome. He will bless you through somebody else, but He will. When you purely love on people and bless them. Love is the greatest thing that is unseen. Do you guys agree? Most people don't even think about it. It's so low key that it's like love, whatever. You just use it, you know, you use the word love left and right, and doesn't even, a lot of times, most of the time, don't carry any weight. Love is the greatest thing that is unseen. Can you guys imagine? Because of love, because of that cross, Jesus went on that cross. He sacrificed His life so our life can be established with the Father. Our connection can be established with the Father. He demonstrated that love, and He defeated sin, fear, and death. The more I was thinking about this, the more it was kind of wild, because love defeated fear. Our world, our society, our culture is so laced with fear, it's wild. You turn on the news, fear. You get ads, fear. You hear to some of your close friends, fear. You're like, yo, what? Love doesn't have that. Love defeated, literally, fear. What that means is that, you know, when there is darkness, you turn on the light just swallows up all the darkness. That's exactly what love did with fear and with death. That's so good. That's one of the things I had to actually face in my heart this week, was fear. The more I was pursuing this and trying to understand what the cross is and what His love is and what He wants to tell me, I found that in my heart. Fear that was so camouflaged and it was so hidden that I missed it. When it comes to love, it sets you free. It doesn't matter what happens today. It doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. You got Jesus. You are safe. In a moment, you're safe for eternity. That should bring you a lot of peace and that should bring you a lot of joy. That's so good. When it comes to this stuff, you know, as I was speaking last time, vertical and horizontal, God completely open, completely vulnerable. He's showing us how to connect to the cross, pick up that love, pick up that simplicity and the wisdom and everything, and pour that out on other people, on our neighbors. When we understand this, what that means is that small daily acts. How many of you guys, just out of curiosity, because this happened to me multiple different times, you would love on somebody in ways, whatever, never expected, right? Help somebody carry a bag, gave them some money, gave them clothes, like smallest little acts you don't even really realize because it doesn't even cost you that much, right? You have a bunch of it, you don't even think twice on it. You just blessed it. But you did the action, you did the act, you blessed them, you moved on with your life. Years later, they come back and you're like, you know, well, you prayed for me or you prophesied or you did this or that. It changed my whole life. How many of you guys had that ever? To me, that's Jesus. Because it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to be sensitive to Holy Spirit in a moment to really slow down for whatever the need is to your right or to your left and just help somebody out around you. When God says, you know, bless and love on your neighbor, that's what that means. You are not stuck on yourself where you're going to get from somebody. You know, you're not running around like nowadays people with the camera, video recording, you know, how good your evangelism ministry is and this and that and how cool you are. One of the samples that Andre brought up last time, you know, as soon as the phone battery died, that guy's like, I'm done. I'm out. Evangelism is over, you know. That is horrible. Oh, my God. But what I'm trying to say by that is when you're intentionally, when your perspective, when your subconscious is open to the opportunity of giving, of blessing others, God will send you opportunities all the time. And that is so insane because that is the way we bring heaven on this earth. Jesus's prayer is what? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're not waiting to go to eternity to be with Jesus and you know, we're not waiting for death. We're simplifying life to such a thing as what I'm talking about, to the cross, to walking the simplicity things of daily life, blessing people, loving on people, forgiving, letting go, facing our hearts, what's there, and just, you know, loving on people because Jesus loves them and you literally just showed them. You showed them, hey, Jesus loves you. Here is this and here is that. As we're prepping for outreach, you know, I'm pumped and I'm excited because we're going to get so much opportunities exactly in this. To bless people with the smallest thing to the biggest thing, with the physical things to the emotional things to the spiritual things, the whole spectrum. That's what the Gospels really look like. When Jesus was battling, because it was a battle. I mean, sweating blood, that's pretty insane. I mean, I've seen nobody else do that ever in eternity. Like not eternity, during this history of life, you know. When he's battling, he changed everything on that cross. The horizontal commandment is to love each other. He said, as I loved you, you love each other. He was an example. What does that mean? That means that all of that is possible. Keys, like these little principles are so simple. It's so simple you miss it. We miss it. I miss it all the time. But the crazy thing is you can't love people. You know your issue. You gotta go get filled up. You go get filled up. You start loving on people by giving. You don't expect anything. You don't love. Fishy love. Come on, fishy love. None of that fishy love. None of that fishy love in my life. None of that fishy love in this house. Like, we want Jesus. We're after him. Father's love, it flows vertically because we believe in Jesus. We receive his love where we don't deserve it or earn it. But then that love flows out of us and it goes into our spouses, into our friends, into our co-workers, into literally all the opportunities that God sends in our life. The hardest people to love usually are your close people and your family members. Sometimes that's the hardest thing. But that's where selflessness comes in, and that's where all control, you gotta surrender all control, because if you're still in control of loving other people, it's not gonna work. It really is not gonna work. I want to mention this again because this is so powerful. It is so simple, but it is so powerful. The act of giving is the reward itself. Can you guys imagine that? Jesus gave himself. The Father gave his Son. The Father and Jesus, they gave Holy Spirit to us. Everything just like God is just providing everything for us. He wants us to get it, that it's love. That's what love looks like. It's about giving, not expecting anything in return. And that is just like, I want to repeat it again. The act of giving is your reward. What that means is that there is no expectations. Literally, there is no expectations. As soon as you put expectations on it, you know what happens? Manipulation comes in. Bitterness comes in, resentfulness comes in. Anybody can relate? Have you ever analyzed that? Yes, thank you. You guys know what I'm talking about. That's awesome. I'm not the only one. That's what pure love looks like. And I know we're stepping into it. I know that's what the next season for us really is. We have to learn it ourselves. As soon as we get this, as soon as we unite in unity and love, We're not going to have to do much, to be honest with you. You just walk and things happen. That's what it is. Jesus, he showed, he walked, and everything was turning around him. Disciples looked at Jesus and they literally repeated everything that he did. That's exactly what it is for us. We look at Jesus, we transform into his image. We learn how to love God. We learn how to, you know, Andre lately keeps on saying it's easy to love God. It's hard to obey God though, just saying. It's hard to obey God, oh, sheesh. But hey, there's hope. There's hope for you and I. It is easy to obey God when you love God. Is that good or what? It's like a circle that is closed. Everything is love, cross is love, Jesus is love, the Father is love. This, we're getting there. The love between brethren and the body of Christ maturing and the bride raising up. That's why I'm preaching this. We're going to get there because I know heaven is taken violently by force. You know how it's taken violently by force? Where we stand together as a body, locked in, holding each other, supporting each other, like loving each other, loving Jesus together, that there is no gap for the enemy to come and lie to us in our minds, to come and distract us, to come and separate us. Does that make sense? Automatically, that will bring heaven on this earth. When we can cry with one voice, when we can love on our King purely together, when we can love on each other purely, I mean, sheesh, we really we have to get down to the age of 3-5 maybe, okay. We can't go past the age of 5 because then, you know, you grow up and it's bad. In this case, this is bad because you stop loving on each other and you start being true friends and genuinely giving and not receiving, like expecting anything in return. When it comes to grown-ups, there is always something. Always some day giving, you're like, why are you giving that to me? What you want from me? It's not how it's supposed to be. It genuinely is not. But it is. But I know we're going to learn it. We're not going to be like that. This group is going to start with us. Jesus's heart's desire, as I mentioned before, he wants us to love each other. Because when the world looks at that, they get transformed. Is that crazy or what? Because what that means is that when we love each other, when that unity is there, when that love is there, when that purity is there, when the support is there, when all of that is there, we represent Jesus and we represent the kingdom of heaven. Wow, that's good. I'm going to be wrapping up. Not sure how long I've been going from, but my goal is 30 minutes. Simplify it, key factors, and just be done with it. I want to repeat a couple of things. Danger zone. Danger. Every single time. Like, I wish I could put more posters on the backboard. Danger zone. No go. Don't go. Don't ever put expectation on love. Please. From now on, if this word is resonating with your heart, do not put expectation on your brothers in church, on your sisters in church. Do not put expectations on your friends. Do not put expectations on your spouses, your girlfriends, your boyfriends. Do not put expectations, because that brings you to a ruin, literally. And the enemy always wants to do that. You're picking a spouse out. You're looking what she can give you or what she can bring to the table, right? You can't even see through what you're going to be doing together for Jesus, how you're going to be serving together, because you're so blinded with yourself. It's good. Real. You love. You give, and then love comes. You don't love because you want something. So simple. Sheesh. When you abide with Jesus, you receive and you're filled, and you're able to have the eyes to see and ears to hear, not to miss opportunities that are in front of you, to miss His kids that are literally. Because, you know, the more I live with God, the more I see how much all of the people on this earth are His kids. There's just kids that are in church that know Him, and there are just kids in the world that do not know Him. But all of us are literally His kids. He breathed in souls into each and every one of us. And that is already His signature of who He is. Another thing I really want to speak loud today. Do not let fear, because fear, sometimes it camouflages in very cunning, very, very subtle ways. Do not let fear love on people. Do not let fear to stop you from loving on people. Because most of the time, that's exactly what happens. You're overthinking. The Holy Spirit is telling you to do something, to go minister to people, pray up for people, whatever that looks like. It's a million different things. All of a sudden, you start overthinking. Oh, what if this? Oh, what if that? Oh, what if, you know, who cares? Just literally obey God's voice and go do it. Don't let fear stop you from loving on people. Because at that point, if the Holy Spirit is telling you, you are literally opening up the floodgates of heaven to be Jesus, to be His hands, to be His feet, to love on other people. So simple. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. It's so good. When I got saved and when I went to a Bible school, you know, over a decade, I don't know, 15 years back probably. And when I started, I think I mentioned this already, but I want to mention it again, because for me, this is a huge lesson. It costed me a huge tons of years to learn this. When I started first going out on streets and loving on people and praying for people and just bringing the gospels and stuff, you know, I got a lot of abuse. I got a lot of abuse in return. People cussing me out, spitting at me, almost got into fights, things thrown at me. A lot of abuse comes your way. I got to a point where I was like, you guys are pigs. You guys do not deserve the pearls, and you guys don't deserve Jesus, and you guys don't deserve the gospels. I personally got offended for Jesus. That was one of the biggest lessons I learned. Why? Because it took me about 7-8 years that my heart closed up. Seriously, to love on people and minister and to pray for. My heart got closed up because of that. Because of hurt, because of just the enemy's lie, right? When Holy Spirit started ministering to me and opening my heart up again for this, to truly see how beautiful it is for me to surrender to His Spirit and His presence and flow when He tells me to do certain things, because God promised we're going to be persecuted. What are we expecting? That's not going to happen? Like, yo, come on. But what that is, when you step out, when you're ministering, it's not you doing it, it's Jesus doing it through you. You should take zero offense to that. Because when people are cursing you, or people are truly pouring out pits of hell on you, it's not you that they're doing it to. It's Jesus that they are doing it to. When I understood this, it set me free. Now it's like, I'm truly free. It doesn't matter what it looks like, you know, abuse comes or whatever. It's like, if I know God's presence is moving in my life, if I know God wants me to do a certain thing and I do it and I get a backlash or something, I just, you know, like Bible says, you brush off your feet and you move on. You do not take it personally. If you understand this, this sets you free. Everybody needs love and everybody truly need somebody to show that to them. Yeah, the last key principle, and I think we're going to dive into prayer. We live in this way, as I mentioned, because that's what draws the world in. That's what draws other people to see Jesus in our life. We don't do it in a funky, weird, fishy way. We do it genuinely because that purity of Jesus that is in us, when we look at Him, we let Him in and He transforms us, it doesn't matter. Over the years, I got hurt by so many of close people, of my leaders, of pastors, of you name it. Got hurt and abused of so many people. Every time I go back into God's presence, I ask Him to heal me. I become wiser, better, stronger. My scars heal up. But you know what the amazing thing is? You get set free every single time something like that happens. You get more and more set free to demonstrate the love of God on this earth. It doesn't matter to who. If people carry titles or people don't carry titles. That's how simple it is. The more we look at Jesus, the more we journey on this life, the more mature we get, the more of self we lose, the more of control we surrender to the cross. That is so good. Don't get me wrong. There is wisdom in between the lines on all of this. Jesus loved us first, and I think that is a perfect example of why we should love people first without expecting anything in return. Simple, good, straight for the guts. I think for everybody to look at something to... How many of you guys got something from this? Good. Come on. Praise God. Okay, let's get up and let's do some worship. If worship band, if you guys want to come out, or at least keys or something. If this word spoke to you, I know it's simple and I want to keep it simple. I want to go even more simpler than this. If this word spoke to you, there's few things that hinder us from letting the love from the cross truly flow through us. Pain, rejection, sin. If there is sin, oh, that will definitely cut off, like, from you hearing the voice of the Father. That will cut off from you abiding in His presence. Lay it down before the cross. If there is pain or trauma, the enemy, he's going to try to do something in your life. He's going to try to distract you, put you down. He's going to try to steal some years off of your life. That's what he is. Kill, steal, and destroy. He's going to come at you. But the thing is, when you come into God's presence, He's going to make it all good. He's going to come from another side and He's going to bless you more than you can ever expected it. He's going to mature you and grow you. So Holy Spirit, right now, I just ask every heart that needs your presence right now, I just ask Holy Spirit that you release it. Thank you so much that your word is simple. Your word is powerful. Your word is eternal. I just ask every person that needs healing from pain or hurt or rejection, I just ask that your love, your fresh abiding love right now that is in this place has a whole brook of fresh living water. I know this place is connected to your heaven. I just ask that every person just connects to you right now and just receives your love, just receives your fresh perspective on what you're doing with their hearts, what you're doing with their lives, what you're doing with them in the moment right now. Holy Spirit, thank you so much that you are bringing glory to Jesus, that you are bringing glory to the Father through this word, through our lives, through each other, Lord. Thank you so much that you are building us up into a solid family, that you are building us up into a solid kingdom carriers, that you are building us up into solid bride, my God. God, bride truly is designed for multiple different functions and multiple different body parts and multiple different cells, and then you name it. It's a group of people. It's a bunch of people together. Holy Spirit, teach us to breathe as one. Teach us to move as one. Teach us to obey as one. Teach us to look at you as one. Teach us to truly walk out when you walk it out. Make us and shape us into the bride that you want us to be, my God. Make us and shape us into your people, God. I ask everything that is hindering us being closer to you, for being closer with each other, cut that off of us, God. Cut that off. Cut off all pride. Cut off all ego. Cut off all selfishness, God. Thank you so much for simplifying, Papa Love. Simplifying that cross. Thank you for simplifying our lives, God, because lives are really simple. Not a lot of things take place. First and biggest thing is Jesus. Lord, I just ask, you were on that cross. You were hanged on that cross. You were beaten. You were bruised. I can't even imagine what you were going through. I can't even imagine how bad your body was. You were there on that cross, and yet you were up in the air between heaven and earth. You were just there horizontally. You were completely open. You were example to us in so many different ways of how we should live our lives towards each other, towards you. My King, I just ask, Pop, for all of our masks to fall off. I just ask for all of our insecurities to fall off right now in your presence. I just ask, Lord, that the purity of who we are truly comes forth, Lord. I just ask that, teach us, God, to be not to be self-centered, God, but to truly be centered on other people and on you, God. That we learn how to pull out the gold from each other. That we are able to see you, Jesus, in each other's lives, God. That we are able to build each other up, God. That we are truly able to sharpen our brothers, like your word says, God. Sword sharpens sword, God. As we look at you, you are the purest form of love. You are the purest form of unconditional love. Today summed up the whole sermon. That's exactly what I was talking about. Unconditional love. There is no conditions. There is no expectations. There is no strings. There is no anything in the back. There is no agendas. You love because Jesus loves us, and we are full of His presence, glory, fire, oil. And we want to be truly loving on others and showing them what it looks like to have a good God, a big God, an amazing God in our lives. It's not that complicated. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you are this year in 2026, you are giving us all, not only me, all of us. You are giving us opportunities on how to love each other. You are giving us opportunities how to serve each other. You are giving us opportunities to truly step out and love our city and our community, God. In whatever shape or form it looks like, we want to be there. We want to do that. We're going to follow you. We're going to follow your voice. And we're going to see kingdom of heaven manifested. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that you rest on our life, God. We don't have to think about our futures. We don't have to overcomplicate things. We don't have to overthink ourselves and our lives, what we have or what we don't have. You will add when we seek and pursue your kingdom, your righteousness, your goodness, you will add everything else. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you love on Andre. He's at a crossroad, Lord. I just ask that this whole situation, what he's going internally, Lord, I just ask that it takes him deeper into your love, that it takes him wider into being a demonstration of your cross and who you are in his life. I just ask that he comes out of this healthy, strong, restored. I just ask that your presence rests on him day and night, that he's able to rest in your presence. It's tough. The mind doesn't understand. The soul goes through a turmoil. But I just ask that your beautiful heart, your beautiful arm, your beautiful presence covers him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. You love on him and you minister to him because you know him inside out. I ask that you take care of him. You genuinely take care of him and his whole family, God. Thank you, God. You have defeated death. And when something like this happens, we are not afraid. We are not afraid to keep on loving you, keep on loving people around us, because love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than fear. And practically it looks like something. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you're maturing us, that you're shaping us right now, right here, with your own hands, with your own presence. You are truly, genuinely shaping our hearts and our souls right now, God, that we become your vessels. We become your images on this earth in the state of Washington. Thank you so much, Lord, that you don't miss a single thing, what we're going through, or what we need. I just ask, God, that we understand what it looks like to love with pure, true, real love. If we have fishy love in our lives, point that out to us. Point that out to us, Lord. If you have something in your heart, I just kept on seeing it earlier. If you have something in your heart, just bring it to the cross. Just in your imagination, just visualize the cross, Jesus laying there, all beaten, all messed up, whatever this looks like. Just imagine him there. Imagine your issue that you're going through and with, something that's heavy on you. Just take that into your hand and just lay it before his feet, lay it before that cross. It works every single time, but you have to be genuine. Just lay it before his feet, just put it on that cross, because he has paid the price for that, for us to be completely healed, completely whole and restored. But you have to take the action of trusting him that he's gonna heal you, he's gonna restore you, he's gonna truly take care of you, whatever this looks like, whatever you're deficient in, whatever you're struggling with. You have to take that thing and just bring it to the cross. Love covers multitude of sins. Love covers everything. When you genuinely love somebody, you will forgive them. You will let go. When you genuinely love the way Jesus loves us, that's what transforms us. That's what this house stands for, a transformation center. Transformation center is literally a symbol of the cross. It's Jesus himself. Holy Spirit, thank you. You are the one that makes Jesus real. You are the one that brings healing. You are the one that truly makes my words alive. That when I speak, somebody's lives can be impacted. Somebody can be truly added to, that I can bless another life, God. I can see people healed, transformed, set free, get filled with your hope, get filled with your love, peace, joy. It's because of you, Holy Spirit. We're just obedient to you, Lord. I honor you, Lord, in my life, and I honor you in every person here. You do amazing things. I just ask that you build courage in them right now. I just ask that you build endurance in them right now, strengthen them, that they are able to become the vessels that overflow with who they are, with their functions. They overflow with their love, with their care for people around them because of you. I just give you glory for all of it, Lord. You deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, give him a shout. Jesus! He's good. He's good. Okay, I think the service is over. Let's hang, enjoy ourselves. If you guys have testimonies, share with each other. That's what builds us up. I know we're going to have a lot of them this year. I believe it. I want them. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for Kingdom of Heaven to manifest. Love you guys. And I don't expect nothing in return. Have a good, amazing Sunday. Bye.